share a message, share God's word, of course, this morning as well on Easter Sunday. And today's reading comes from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. So I invite you to pick up your Bible at home or wherever you are and turn to the book of Romans. I think it has something to teach us about resurrection. You would expect maybe on a sermon on resurrection would come out of the Gospels. But in fact, Romans has something important, I think, to say to us about the reality of resurrection. And so that's where we're going to turn this morning. So Romans chapter 1. Verses 1 through 7 is what we will read together this morning. So, Romans chapter 1, let us say a word of prayer. Father, as we open your word and as we are about to read it, we ask that you read us and that you instill in us your spirit of understanding, so that we may read and hear your word correctly. So, Father, speak to us this morning on this glorious day. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Christ, Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who has on his earthly life been a descendant of David, who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God, called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God. I've entitled this morning's sermon, this message, By His Resurrection, because His resurrection stands central to who He is, to the power of the gospel, to our identity as His followers, by His resurrection, from Romans 1, 1 through 7. Now, we don't often think about it, but the fact that Paul writes his letter to the church at Rome is, in fact, proof for the resurrection. The proof of the pudding is in the tasting, is a saying that you're probably used to. And it is kind of like that with this letter, this book of Romans that was written to the Romans, rather. The very fact that it exists, the very fact that Paul wrote this letter is, in fact, proof that Jesus Christ lives. If there had been no resurrection, there would have been no need for him to write the letter and to tell people of the gospel. If there had been no resurrection, if Jesus had remained in the grave, there would have been nothing to tell. There would have been no power, story of power to share with the world. But as it is, Paul addresses this church. He established this church. There's a group of followers of Jesus Christ who follow him because he is alive. The proof of resurrection is in the letter. Now, in our tradition, in the Christian Reformed Church, there used to be this feeling that whenever it came to the message, what was proper and what was right and what was good was a three-point sermon. I'm not sure that I subscribe to that. I think there's all kinds of creative ways that we can bring God's word and that God speaks to us. But it is interesting that as I looked at today's passage, there were, in fact, 4 3-point sermons contained in these few words that Paul uses to open his letter. And so we're going to go through that. There's 4 significant things that we can learn about. And each one of those 4 things has, in fact, those 3 points. And I think it speaks powerfully to the reality in which we live today, the reality of resurrection. The very first thing that we see is Paul, and Paul identifies himself at the start of his letter, and he refers secondly to the gospel, to the good news. And we have something to say about that. The third thing that is mentioned in this short introduction that Paul uses, it mentions the Son of God, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. And finally, it mentions we who are the church. And so we're going to go through each of these and see what Paul, in fact, has to say about this. First of all, Paul. When Paul opens his letter, he identifies himself. Verse 1. And if we look at that, we see how he does this. He uses 3 phrases specifically. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ. A servant of Christ Jesus. Paul has, through all that he has seen, he has been met by Jesus. He has seen Jesus. He has seen the reality of Jesus. And he becomes a follower, disciple of him. A servant to the reality, to the truth that Jesus spoke. And he goes on to say, I have been called to be an apostle. Paul isn't just attaching himself by his own doing. He isn't just deciding that this is what he is going to do. No, Paul has this strong sense of calling. It is Christ himself who has called me to this. So my servanthood, my following Jesus, the fact that I'm his disciple is not of my own doing. I have been called to this. I have been called to be an apostle, to be a witness to Jesus Christ, to his resurrection, to the fact that he's alive and that his word is powerful. And the last thing he says, I have been set apart for the gospel of God. 3 things about Paul's identity: servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, and set apart for the gospel of God. And with these words, Paul sets his identity firmly in place, and he goes on to write his letter. In verse 2, we read about the gospel. The gospel, it says, that he promised beforehand. And this gives us a sense of the fact that, again, this is not an accident. This is not happenstance. This is not something that just happened by the hands of men who decided to condemn this innocent man. No, good news, the gospel, what was to happen and what did happen in Jesus Christ was promised beforehand. And here we see the hand of God working powerfully all the way back from the Old Testament. Because it says very specifically, the good news came through the prophets. Already long ago, there was Isaiah who prophesied about the coming Messiah, the suffering servant, though he, the lamb that would be led to the slaughter, but then who would also save his people from their sins. Promised beforehand according to God's plan, spoken to us by the prophets, and recorded, it says, in the Holy Scriptures. And so the gospel is not just a New Testament thing. It is embedded right from the beginning in the very plan of God. That's the second three-point sermon. The third three-point sermon comes when we read about what it says when it refers to the Son of God. And that happens in verses 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, regarding his Son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David. I don't know if you remember when Jesus was born, and as Matthew opens his gospel, he starts with that genealogy, the one that everybody avoids because it contains so many names. This Son of God was came from the line of David, and it was the census that caused Joseph to travel to Bethlehem because he came from the line of David. So, again, there's a strong connection to the Old Testament, to King David, and out of that, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is born. And this descendant of David is identified as the Son of God. He is the Son of God, declared to be the Son of God. So, very human, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. But the third day, he rose again, and that's what we're celebrating today. And it is only the Son of God, it is only Jesus Christ who is able to rise from the dead, to conquer death and sin and hell. He truly is walking in. He is the Son of God. He's walking in the power of God. He is a very God of very God. It is this Son that is Christ our Lord. And then that third piece, the third part of that sermon about the Son, is that all of this has been accomplished by his resurrection. And that, of course, is very significant today. We are standing here on Easter Sunday. We celebrate the fact that Jesus rose. And that's exactly what this passage, that's what Paul says to us here in these words of the introduction in the book of Romans. All of this, he says, was appointed by God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Now, there are those who try to shove aside the reality of resurrection. They say it's probably a spiritual reality. You don't have to believe that he actually rose. But I declare to you this morning that he did rise from the dead. And it is crucially important that we believe that, that we uphold that, that we proclaim that, and that we declare that. It is by his resurrection, says Paul, by his resurrection from the dead, that he conquered all of this for us. And it is his resurrection from the dead that secures for us our living forevermore. Jesus Christ, our Lord, descendant of David, the Son of God, and our Lord by the power of his resurrection. It is real. And then we have the fourth piece of that sermon, the fourth three-point sermon regarding we, the church. If we read in verses 5 through 7, there is a switch that happens there. Through him, says Paul, we received grace. We, the church. Even though we are separated, we are together, we belong together. We have received grace, and I don't want you to miss that second piece. We have received grace not to sit on our laurels, not to sit back and just let it all happen. No, Paul very clearly says we have received grace and apostleship. We are witnesses to the resurrection of Christ. And for what purpose? It says very clearly in verse 5, we have received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. We too are recipients of grace. We We are called God's people. But as God's called people who have received grace, we are also to call other people into grace. This is who we are. This is the nature of the church. We are called, secondly, in verse 6, we are called to belong. We are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So our identity is different from other groups that meet. We are not just some kind of humanitarian group. We are the church. We are the body of Christ with Christ as his head, and we are the parts. We are called to belong. We may lose sight of that a little bit as we are scattered about even during this time of COVID-19, as we have less contact with each other, as we do not meet as we usually do. But I hope that you still have that sense of togetherness, of belonging. Belonging to the body of Christ. I hope that you are receiving the phone calls. I hope that you are receiving the attention. I hope that you are reaching out to others. I hope that you are still connected through the vine, as it were, Jesus Christ. We are the branches. He is the vine, and God is the gardener. We are called to belong. And finally, at the end of verse 7, to all in Rome, Paul says, who are loved by God. And that, too, then, is our identity as the church. We are the church. We have received grace, and we are to call other people into that grace. We are called to belong, and we stand in the very love of God. And so with those 4 points, we have, in fact, 4 3-point sermons all in one on this Resurrection Sunday. What I don't want you to miss is that resurrection, the fact of resurrection, the reality of resurrection, is central to all of this. It is central to Paul's identity. It is central to the power of the Son of God. It is central to who we are. Resurrection stands central to the power of the gospel. Romans 1 verse 4 says, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ is our Lord. We are celebrating today the reality of resurrection. Bodily resurrection, real resurrection, factual resurrection, and it is through what happened on this day 2,000 years ago that we live. Christ lives, and we live with him. This is the proclamation that Paul makes at the beginning of this theological letter. It is what moves us as a church into the future, and it is this day that made all this possible. Father, we pray together now. We pray that we will step into the reality of resurrection. It is by your resurrection that we are who we are. It is by your resurrection that good news came into the world. It is by the power of resurrection that you have proven once again that you are the Son of God. And it is your resurrection that gives each of us, along with Paul, an identity. This is who we are. Christ lives, and we live with him. We pray this in praise and thanksgiving, and we ask that you help us to live in this power. I pray this in the power of the risen Christ. Amen.